right, everybody, welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. I'm going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Greg Warren's our headliner this weekend, and he'll be joining me in just a couple of minutes. It's pre-taped, of course. I say he's going to be joining us. I've already talked to Greg Warren. See, I'm ahead of you. I have to catch you up, and then we'll all be on the same page after. Then we'll talk about how it went. I think it went really cool. I like Greg a lot. His specials were so funny. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. And we'll get into that. Why? This is a big weekend if you're a Greg Warren fan. You need to come to the club. But anyway, let's plug our stuff, all right? It's currently October 22nd. That's a Tuesday as I say this to you. The Detroit to LA competition is ongoing. It is... Is this the last one of the opening rounds? I think it is. It's maybe the last opening round. But that is this evening at 7:30 p.m. Again, like all of these shows I'm about to talk about, with the exception of the open mic, ComedyCastle.com has your tickets there. Really great lineup. Dylan Farr is a former student of mine who cracks me up. We've also got Sam Segwin on the show, who is one of our bartenders, but also has some really funny comedy that he does that I really am a fan of. My old buddy Rob McGolin. Met Rob in 1999. Going back. Rom Kelly also was a guy who did very well last year. All hosted by Ian Lanovich, another former student of mine. Some real good people on this show. So it's Tuesday at 7:30. It's today as I record this. So if you're listening today, come to Detroit to LA tonight. You see a fun show. You get to vote for the winner, the whole thing. We got open mic for you on Wednesday, the 23rd. That's at 7:30 p.m. And, you know, you never know who's on the open mic. I actually know who's on the open mic, but I don't have it in front of me. Do we click on the website and get it? Not right now. But it's always a fun lineup at open mic night. We got some professionals, some amateurs. It's always a good time. Then we got Greg Warren coming in at 7:30 p.m. Greg Warren has multiple YouTube comedy specials that have done over a million views. He's got Sean O'Brien opening for you, for him, and for you guys. That's our bill. You're going to love Greg. 7:30 p.m. on Thursday. Friday night, the 25th of October, 7:15 and 9:45. And then on the 26th, that's Saturday night, 7 and 9:30. And we got a fun Sunday show for you this week, too. On Sunday, the 27th at 7:30, Java Monster presents Lucas Zelnick. Lucas Zelnick has one of those, you know, the crowd work clip guys that we talk about sometimes on this show. Well, he's one of those guys, and I saw his clips, and he's very good. So I'm excited for that. I don't know who Java Monster is or why they're sponsoring this, but okay. Good for Lucas getting that sponsorship money. I don't know what a Java Monster is. Maybe they'll be there. Maybe you come and they're available for purchase, or they're handing them out for free. It's a possibility. I'm not promising you that if you come. You should come because you like Lucas. So that's that's Sunday at 7:30. And, yeah, it's going to be a fun week. Greg Warren was a great talk. I really enjoyed learning from him. Such a humble guy, too, because you watch his stand-up, as I did, and he's kind of loud, and he's kind of just this, I think I described it in the interview, sort of this freight train barreling down the tracks, making his points, really entertaining stuff. It was a peanut butter salesman. You'll hear that in the interview. He actually worked for... I believe it was Procter & Gamble at the time, and they've been sold since. But Jif Peanut Butter, and he on his YouTube special, The Salesman, that I watched. A lot of Jif Peanut Butter talk. Some would say too much. I say no. I'm a fan of Jif Peanut Butter. You'll hear that in the interview. He also tells us about, you know, quitting his regular job and becoming a full-time comic. He's also talked about help that he's gotten through comedy, and recently from Nate Bargatze, and you'll hear him talking about Nate. Yeah, Nate's really helping him out. Nate's doing a lot of stuff for comics. He's really doing, you know, we talked about, Keith Alberstadt opening for Nate, and Keith goes out with him, and Greg has as well. Greg's also got his own podcast that is available that is on Nate's, what do you call that? His network. He has a podcast network. Nate does. But anyway, you hear us talk about that. We'll talk about St. Louis sports. You'll hear us talk about Lots of fun stuff that we talked about. High school wrestling. I brought that up because I was a high school wrestler. Did I insult Greg Warren? I want you to listen to this interview as we play it. Did I insult him? Did I unknowingly say something? I will tell you after the interview. All right, we'll make a little game out of it. I will tell you after the interview where I think I insulted him. And then maybe you can go back. Not meaning to insult him. No insult necessary. I took no, I don't know. I think I made fun of myself. I said, hey, I'm kind of like, yeah, anyway, you'll hear it. Greg Warren's great. His specials are so funny. I really enjoyed watching him. Really enjoyed talking to him. So let's take you to that interview with Greg Warren, everybody. Here it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line here, it's a real pleasure to talk to Greg Warren, our weekend headliner. Greg, how are you today?
Hey, Joel, what's up, man?
Yeah, so Comedy Castle, Royal Oak, Michigan. I've been on the staff for a long time. I've performed at that club for almost 25 years now, and I don't remember you being there ever. Is this the first time, or have you been there? Is it a long time ago?
Yeah, I would say I've been there a handful of times, but it's been probably maybe 10 years or more since I've been there.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's great because you're having so much success. And I know, you know, your name just comes up around. I think it was last weekend, even Joe List, having nothing to do with me, said, I got to get a hold of Greg Warren. I heard that come out of his mouth, having nothing to do with me or anything.
Yeah, Joe actually texted me. I think it was Saturday. He's the best, man. Yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah, Joe's great. We had a great weekend with him, and but just out of the blue, I'm like Greg Warren. Everybody knows this Greg Warren guy. He's everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know if people are crazy about that. Maybe it's had their limit. You know.
Was there a better time when people didn't know who you were? Where you were like, yeah, this is.
No. I'm saying for them. For me, it's outstanding. You, I'm really glad. Yeah. I'm saying for me, it's fantastic. It's great to be known. But, yeah. You know, maybe people out there are like, you know, I think we just about had enough.
Yeah. Well, most, you know this. Most comics are unknown. And speaking for myself, and, you know, you're unknown. And then it's like you're doing stuff and you're really funny, but people don't. It's like people, until they know who you are or they've seen you on a thing, they don't even trust that you're funny.
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, like, you'll be, I'm in town to play at this place, and, are you funny? No, they just booked the unfunniest person they could find and said, you come in from Detroit. Yeah, I don't know what people are thinking.
Right. Yeah, man.
But I spent the last day or so watching your specials. You got millions of views there, sir.
Yeah, man. It's been I got this little late life in my career or something. Okay. That, I don't know. I mean, I've gotten to do a lot of cool stuff in the last 25 years or whatever. But yeah. Yeah, you're up, you're down, and then the last two or three years have been pretty awesome.
That's true. Do you attribute that to any particular thing?
I was wearing jeans, you know, for a long time on stage.
Yeah.
And I went to those sort of bird dog type pants. Mm. Yeah. And I think that might be it. Yeah. I also switched from more of like a lifestyle Nike, you know, retro running shoe to the Air Max. Mm. And I just think it makes me a little funnier, to be real honest with you. Yeah. I think that's it. I think it's a lot of stuff. I got better. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you know. I didn't believe that for a while. I was like, it doesn't matter how good that I got better. And then, I got a few breaks. I started being like all the way clean maybe 10 years ago. And I think that gave you like a lane to operate in. Mm, okay. I was never really dirty, but I was probably a little more profane than I needed to be. And, so that like sort of gave me a lane. And then, yeah, I just had a few things that hit. And then in the last couple of years, Nate Bargatze has really helped me out a lot. I am a regular on his podcast. I've been on there a bunch of times. He produced my last special, which really had a lot of success. And
That's the salesman, right? That's a great special.
Oh, thanks, man. Watch Nate's been doing. Thank you. Nate's been doing pretty good himself. So.
Yeah, Nate's great. Nate came to our club. I always tell people, I go, you know, Nate was here 7-8 years in a row. First couple of years, nobody knew who he was, you know?
Yeah. So, and then we just launched a podcast, my own podcast on his network. So, man, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I've always loved the process of just trying to come up with a new hour full of material and, you know, getting it. The Sirius Radio has always been a really good supporter of mine. I was always like, okay, if this doesn't wind up on any sort of video special, at least it's somebody's going to hear it. And then in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, it's like, oh, you can also do a video component with it. So it's been really fun.
Yeah, that's great. And social media, who, you know, people go, this social media thing and the internet is this young man's game. But as I've seen from hosting the show and talking to everybody, you know, I had Brad Upton out a couple weeks ago. It's like, that guy blew up. Your thing is huge. And it's kind of like, wow, this guy, you know, and it's not a 20 something doing crowd work. You know, it's a guy who's super talented and is just joke after joke after joke. That's one of the things I love about your set.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah. I mean, I was probably not an early adopter of like YouTube or something. I was like, this is stupid, man. You guys hold out, get a Comedy Central special like you're supposed to. And then, it's been really good for me.
Yeah. And I liked one of the things about, especially in The Salesman, you are talking about things that, you know, maybe a comedian would make a joke about peanut butter. Maybe they would, you know, they'd make a thing about Jif is better than this. You could see a comic doing that. I don't know how many minutes you do on peanut butter, but it's amazing. It's really incredible. Incredible. And the audience is with you. And they're like, I don't think they're, you know, I didn't feel this way watching it. Like, that's enough on peanut butter. Move on, dude. Not at all. I could have taken more. I could have taken 30 more minutes.
Why would you,
man?
I mean, I think there needs to be more said about it. If I regret anything, you know, I think I left a lot of peanut butter material on the table.
I had Jif for breakfast this morning on my toast, so I can't.
Outstanding.
I'm one of your people.
That's good thinking. Exactly. Yeah, that's good thinking.
Exactly. You know, you couldn't, the pandemic, that was one of the first things that disappeared, as I remember it.
Oh, really?
Jif peanut butter. Yeah, couldn't get it. It was just sold out. Everyone just hoarded the Jif. Like, you could go to CVS and they'd have some off-brand and you'd just buy it. And I'd come home, I'm like, honey, this is what they had. Couldn't get, you know, Jif at Kroger.
Well, I hate to be the one to, you know, I was, in all honesty, I did work for Jif for several years. But I think what you might have been running into at that point, there was a product recall.
Yeah, I do remember that. But
at that point. So I'm not sure that was a COVID issue.
Yeah,
that
might have been a. And I'm telling you, it was hot. It was like, that's the thing that people needed to get through the pandemic was a jar of Jif, and more than one jar. Probably two.
We had a misstep, man, and I'm not proud of it. But I didn't do it. I was long gone.
So you did decide, though. You were in this food, and you talk so much of it on The Salesman that I don't want to repeat a lot of stuff. But you left that food sales industry just to do comedy.
Yes. Yeah. I think it was 2001, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and, it was kind of a hard decision because I was making a lot of money and, I didn't hate the job. It was a good job.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't really have the, passion for it that I, you know, do for stand-up. I felt like there was something missing and, I'd probably should have quit years before that, but I kind of took my time and, you know, that the good thing is by the time I did quit, I kind of knew what I was doing. I'd been doing it locally quite a bit, and I also had saved up some money.
That's that'll help.
So that's good. And, you know, on the other hand, I don't know. I think maybe there would have been some more opportunities earlier if I would have quit when I was 25 rather than 33.
But. Yeah. Well, that's, it's where you are now is where not everyone gets, you know.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And it's a, yeah, it's been really, really fun, man. I think you start doing stand up and you just want to see if you can make people laugh, and then you get caught up in a ton of other stuff. Like, I get famous and, you know, live a showbiz life. And, like I said, I had some ups and downs for a while. A couple times I was like, I think I'm going to be huge. 6 weeks later, I was like, I think I might be out of the business.
That's definitely a thing that can happen in any sort of thing of show business. But comedy is such a, you know, it's you're here 1 week and then the next week it's nothing.
Yeah. And I think now I've kind of realized I've kind of come back to like my favorite part is like, all right, I just put out this hour of material. Can I write another one? And that process is pretty fun. Can be a little daunting sometimes. And especially, you know, that first year after you put something out, or the first 6 months, you're starting over with nothing. I'm getting ready to shoot something in about a month. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of like, this week they'll just basically see the special in Detroit, you know, like I'm adding little finishing things on it. But so it's very like, it's polishing and it's adding things to what you already have. And so you do that for like 6 months or whatever. And then you put it out and then you're like, I have nothing. I have nothing. And I have to come up with completely new stuff. And this doesn't even feel like a job that I've done before. Like, it's like, I wasn't doing this job. I was doing the policy thing. This isn't even the same skill set. And I don't remember having to do this. This isn't fair.
So let's talk about that process a little bit. So when you've done the special and you're working on new stuff, is this going out doing short open mic things? Are you putting it all together before you go out and do another show? Are you mixing in the new stuff with the old stuff? How's that?
It's new stuff with old stuff. Yeah, I mean, I've always, I live in St. Louis and there's an open mic at the club here at the Funny Bone that I've been, you know, I lived in New York and LA for a while, but over the years I've always used that open mic, on Tuesday nights to sort of build stuff. But where I build it most is like working it into, you know, just new stuff, old stuff. Nate is a maniac. Like Nate will, once his special drops, like he won't do any of that material at all. Yeah. Like he's really good. So that helps. So I can't quite do that. Like you're going to see a little mix there for a while. And then eventually, hopefully, we'll sort of cycle most of the old stuff out.
Well, I think for what Nate does, it's sort of, it takes balls, literally. It's just like, well, what if I do this? I think it's, what if they don't think it's as good as the last thing I did? And then people say, well, Nate's not as good as he used to be.
The one that comes out, I think it's Christmas Eve or whatever, is insanely good. It may be the best thing he's done.
Wow.
Actually.
That's saying something. But he deserves all the success. That dude works. I mean, just that right there is working hard. Just refreshing this stuff, which maybe that's easier when you've got a deal to release this thing for a bunch of money. But whatever it is, it's inside of him and he's great at it. So,
yeah, I would say maybe you have more motivation, but it's certainly not easy.
It's just, especially
on the time. Like this one, I think we'll shoot it like 2 years after the last one, which for me is warp speed, you know. I mean it used to be a 3 or 4. Nate, he's like, it's pretty much every year he's putting some out, so it's pretty cool.
Is that more fun to do the new stuff rather than doing the old stuff? I mean, the having
absolutely.
That old, yeah, because having that old stuff is like, I know the laugh's coming, here it is. With the new stuff, you're kind of walking that tight wire every night.
It's just not a, you know, you're creating. You know, and I like some of my old jokes, and you know, I also, if somebody wants me to do them, I'll do them. I'm not gonna be like, I'm not doing that. I think it's pretty, it's just fun to create, man. The funnest time in comedy is like that first time, you know, the joke you put it on stage and it's not even there yet. You can just tell like, oh, this is going to work at some point. It's not ready, but it's going to work.
Right. That's all about your sort of your delivery style. Now I would categorize you as a little bit angry, not screaming. I mean, but in terms of there's a little sort of a rage underneath the surface about this day-to-day life that we live and things that maybe other people aren't upset about, or certainly not as upset as you are about that. Has that always been in your delivery, or is that a thing that developed over the years?
Yeah, I think that it definitely developed, and it's sort of a, you know, I think it's more of a pacing thing than a volume thing. But yeah, I mean, and yeah, rage, I don't know, but
not at all. I wouldn't say that, but it's a sort of this simmering kind of non-locomotive of sort of vitriol for these topics.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was talking about peanut butter in the last one. That's obviously a serious topic, so I'm gonna have some emotion. You know, yeah. I'm not a robot. You start talking about something like peanut butter, I'm gonna get emotional about it. Any rational human being would.
But in my opinion, the reason it works is that people do care, and there is a difference between Jif and Peter Pan. There is a difference. You're not a maniac screaming about it. It's really
between the two of them. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So being from in the business, what is Jif doing that the other companies don't do to make their, because you'd think everyone would want their peanut butter to be like Jif, and yet the texture is different. The taste is different. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, Joel, I mean, I'm not going to come on your podcast and talk about the secrets of Jif. I mean, I mean, for one, I'm loyal to Jif, and two, it's you know, there's probably some legal risk. I would imagine there's some Procter & Gamble executives that listen to this podcast. It's a very popular podcast, and I'm not gonna.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to get me some sort of crazy lawsuit. I'm not gonna be a part of it. Yeah.
Trade secrets. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fair enough. I can't. I can ask you how you make your comedy. That's fair to talk about. But when it comes to Jif, trade secret.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
The humor of Greg Warren is an open book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's less complex than peanut butter. Yeah.
Let's talk about growing up. It says here, and I saw a photo. I was a high school wrestler. Okay.
Oh, wow. Cool, man.
I saw a picture of you in your singlet that you put up for some purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And I have those photos of me, and I go, I don't think anyone ever looks good in those photos.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're just goofy anyway. I don't care if you're how badass you are, what kind of shape you're in. Is there something just inherently goofy about that singlet photo they make you take?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a movement in high school and youth wrestling to go to a more just flattering uniforms, fight shorts and shorts and t-shirts sort of. Oh. Like, it's more like UFC stuff. So, and I think they should, because it's a, I don't know, I think it's sort of, it is a bit of a silly uniform.
Well, but the singlet has a purpose. There's less things to grab.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that.
But yeah, I never really gave it a ton of thought, to be honest with you.
So did you have with your dad being a coach and that, did you have a lot of success as a wrestler? What'd you do? What level were you at?
Yeah, I was good, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you want me to brag?
Yeah, sure. Listen, I tell people I wrestled for 4 years in high school, and I don't want to brag, but I was 3 years JV. And that's a lot of success on the JV.
Yeah, that is good, man. Especially a state like Michigan, there's really good wrestling.
No, but so I was not very good. But are you talking states? Where'd you go?
Yeah, man. I was a 2-time state champ.
Yeah, wow.
And I was a Division I All-American.
Really? College. That's fantastic. Yeah.
And I wrestled for Missouri, and I beat he'll hate me for saying this, and he wound up being a much, much better wrestler than I was. Yeah. He was younger at the time, but I beat a guy named Sean Bormette to make All-American in the blood round is what they call it. So to make the top eight at 158 pounds in 1991, Sean Bormette currently is the head coach at the University of Michigan.
Oh, all right. There you go. Well, so he could be at the show this weekend.
I hope he is, man. He's a great guy. He's a great coach. And I want to be clear. He he was a freshman at the time. I was a senior.
Yeah,
he wound up being a much, much better wrestler than I ever dreamed of being. But yeah. I did get him in that match. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I wrestled a state champion once, and I think I got beat in about 12 seconds.
Yeah. Michigan's no joke.
Yeah.
Man. It's a lot of really good wrestling.
Yeah. My high school wasn't really, they weren't great at wrestling. I don't think my school wasn't.
Yeah,
they were okay. But I always found out like there were these schools that were, wrestling powerhouses had junior high programs.
Yeah, Little League. Really. Yeah.
So they would start real young, and then we would start in the ninth grade. And, you know, we'd have some guys that were good, that were great athletes.
Tough.
But the freshmen, we were there because we liked WWF for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to screw around on the mats. That's what we did. But, yeah, man, I loved wrestling. I loved it. I loved every minute of high school.
That's cool, man. No, I think it's a great sport. And whatever you level wrestling, you wrestle, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun and camaraderie. And even though I wasn't the best guy on the team, I would do a full bridge and sing the high school fight song. I could do
there
that
you go.
At practice. That was part of every practice.
That's outstanding.
Go do a bridge.
Glad you weren't doing that.
Sing
glad you weren't doing that in matches. I'm glad you specified practice.
That might be explain my record if I did that though. What else can we talk about here? The touring. What's your schedule like? Are you going out every week?
It's pretty much every week. I mean, there's week here, week there, but it's pretty much every week. You know, I've been doing that for a while, so I like it. I think it's, you know, it's the only way to get better. The only way to make some money. So, I like it a lot.
All right, so, and I was looking at your dates there. Looks like some theaters in there. Is that a thing that's happening? Are you making that transition? Are you always going to be a club guy, at least on some level? Where are you thinking this is going?
Nobody knows, I mean, I would, anticipate clubs will be a big part of my life for forever, but you don't know. I mean, I just want to. Jokes will be a part of my act. That's about all. The only thing you can control, really. The rest of it is like you could sit there and talk about what you think you might do or what.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
I could wind up anywhere and
you'd be happy.
I like where I am now. So
I talked to a guy, somewhat famous guy, you know, and he said, I said, why are you not in theaters? And he said, well, you know, he said he didn't like the. He did not like the touring element of it, like every day getting on a plane. He said, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I want to go to a club and I want to just do that. But I, you know, he said he preferred I'm in a club for 3 days and that's it. And then I go home.
Yeah, that is a really, it is kind of like, you know, this weekend, I'm really kind of looking forward to like, oh, you get into town, you're there for 3 days, you're doing shows, you're kind of settled and you can really dial in. Mm-hmm. You listen to your act the next morning and you really dial in where I've been part of tours, you know, or I've opened for people or whatever, where you're in one town on Friday and then you're in a completely different town on Saturday. And yet, you know, you're in an airport all day or on a plane. And it is hard to sort of, I think there's something about the rhythm of working comedy clubs that is really fosters creativity.
All right. I agree. Let's get out of here on this. St. Louis sports, how are they? Who do you follow? What's your teams?
I mean, we're not the best we've been. I mean, the Cardinals are a legendary franchise. I'm a diehard Cardinal fan. And they have not had, they've had a couple of pretty bad or average years, which they don't usually have. And I think they're actually I think they took their eye off the ball with player development. And I think they're going to kind of refocus on that, which means they will probably do some sort of a rebuild, light rebuild or quick rebuild. And which is not, I've never really seen much of that.
Because Tigers, we suck for like a decade and then we're good for a minute.
Long time. It was a great team this year.
Yeah, it was a really, very good team. Really we had a great run. Now, when it comes to football, are you still fans of the Rams in St. Louis?
No,
everyone's abandoned the Rams.
Yeah, I don't like really the NFL now because I've had like three teams that left on me.
You had the Cardinals. Who left on you? Cardinals and Rams.
and the Rams, and I lived in Houston earlier in when I got out of college and the Oilers left. So I, just really,
nah, I get that.
I can't get behind the NFL at all. No. Okay.
Well, that's
so,
fair.
And then so it's for me, really, really into the Cardinals and really, really into college wrestling.
Yeah, oh,
Missouri,
okay.
Specifically. Yeah, nice. Yeah. So those two things. And then I'm sort of a casual fan of the hockey team of the Blues.
Sure. But, I haven't seen hockey in a minute, but I used to go. I used to watch all those 90s Red Wing teams. Those things were the best. Now I don't know.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. They had a bunch of fun players on that team. I read a biography of somebody. I think it was – I can't remember. I read a biography of somebody on the on the Red Wings. Yeah. He was a Red Wing guy.
Isn't that Gordie Howe? Not that.
No.
More recent.
Did Probert play for the Red Wings?
Yeah, Probert. Yeah, he was a big guy.
Yeah, I think it was Probert there.
Oh, yeah, his life's all messed up. Yeah.
Yeah. He's an interesting guy, though.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a real fascinating guy. Tough. One of the last tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Probert. Yeah. We got a guy named Darren McCarty. Ever hear of him? He kind of came a little bit later. Detroit Red Wing guy. He's like a real fighter. You know, he was talented, but he mostly a fighter. And I don't know what else he did. I think he got a little punchy. He's on the stand-up circuit here in Michigan now, Darren McCarty.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, I've never seen him, but people say he's nice and stuff. And
oh, that's
I don't
great.
Know. I'm like, all right, I guess that's a thing to do.
yeah, man.
Yeah, I'll play hockey and fight a bunch of people and then go do comedy.
Yeah, if it works, it works, man.
I'd be afraid he'd want to fight me if I worked with him.
If anybody wants to try it, I give him some respect.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, Greg, let's just let people know we got 5 shows this weekend. And come see you on any of those, and it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, man. I'm like I said, I haven't been in the club in a really long time, and yeah, okay. I always liked it, liked the area. Mark is just, you know, one of the true gentlemen in comedy. It'd be really, really good to be there.
All right, dude. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you, Greg.
Okay, man. Thanks for talking with me.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
All right, see you, buddy.
There it is, Greg Warren. Now, listen, here, where did I insult him? I think when I said the thing about saw you in a wrestling singlet, nobody looks good in those, kind of relating it to my wrestling singlet pictures. And I think that was an insult to him. I think he's very proud of his. I had no idea he had gone that far in wrestling. That's amazing. But I don't know. I always step in it. What can I tell you? And I know he can beat me up. I know with the amount of wrestling experience, even though he's a little older than I am, I'd have no shot in a throwdown. Actually, I'm kidding. We're not going to fight. I don't fight. I don't think Greg fight. Perfectly nice guy. Great comedian, man. I'm telling you, this salesman special and Where the Field Corn Grows, really great. And, of course, the reason you got to come out, you heard it in there. New special is being taped in just a few weeks. So you'll pretty much be hearing it this weekend at the Comedy Castle. Hear it early, hear it live. That's the best way to experience comedy. Thanks for Greg for talking to me. And it's going to be a great time this weekend. But a lot going on this weekend at the Comedy Castle. This week, Detroit to LA tonight, open mic, Greg Warren, Lucas Zelnick on Sunday. And keep you busy here as we're in the fall. We're in the busiest time of the year, usually, at the Comedy Castle. And it's great to have everyone out. We had Joe List last week. That was a great week. Jason Phelan Mars, or Merez, as I like to see. Great guest last week. Just keeping it rolling for you at the Comedy Castle. We're having a great time doing these shows, putting them together for you. So thanks for listening to this show, coming out, supporting the club. We'll catch you next time. Well, actually, we're going to catch you this weekend for Greg Warren at the Comedy Castle, and then we'll catch you next week, guys. All right? Have a great one. We'll see you out there. Bye-bye.